week's Pasha, Pazria Mitzoyra, we all know this isn't such an easy Pasha, a topic which we are really familiar with, which we understand. I'd like to bring out a point which I think is a very important point, which something we can all learn from, and something which we can all improve upon. I'd like to start first with a vote which is written in a Sefer Kerem HaTzvi from Reb Tzvi Heshverber, who was a big Gaon, lived in London about 50, 60 years ago. Sefer is a very well-known Sefer. And he writes as follows: if we look in this week's Parsha, when the Torah speaks about somebody who has saras on his house, the Torah writes as follows: Ki savoyel eretz Kanaan, when you come to Eretz Kanaan, to Eretz Yisroel, v'nosati nega tzaras bebeis eretz achizaschem, says Rabbi Yishon, and tzaras will come on the house. Ibua sheloi habayis, the person who's the owner of the house has to come, v'higid lakoyin, and you should tell the koyin, kenega nira li babayis. So the Torah tells us, somebody gets saras in his house, ibo el hakoyin, let him come to the koyin. Asks Reb Tzvi Heshverber, if we look in the psikim where the Torah tells us about somebody who gets saras on his body, there the Torah changes the language. It doesn't say ibo el hakoyin. There the Torah writes, Odom kiye ba'oy besorois eisos apachas, a person who has saras on his body, vehivo el hakoyin, he is brought to the koyin. Why by saras on the body does it say vehivo el hakoyin, he is brought to the koyin? And when he has saras on his house, it says ibo el hakoyin. Question number two: somebody has saras on his house, he comes to the koyin, v'higid lakoyin, and he says to the koyin, leimoy kenega nira li baboyis. Why does it say li? Kenega nira babesi. There's a nega in my house. Why does the Torah write kenega nira li babesi? Has happened to me in my house. It should just say kenega nira babesi. Question number three is what the Torah tells us, that somebody is saras in his house, comes to the koyin, v'higid lakoyin leimoy, he has to inform the koyin, telling him, I've got saras in my house. Why is it that somebody's got saras on his body, it doesn't say that when we come to the koyin, he has to inform the koyin and say, I've got saras on my body? So you might say, well, the answer is obvious, because somebody's got saras on his body and he comes to the koyin sees it straight away. So he doesn't have to tell him. And the pasuk carries on and says, Veruya koyin, the koyin sees he's got saras. But lav dafka, a person can have saras underneath his clothes where the koyin can't see. It might not be on his face. So why does the Torah not tell us that somebody's got saras on his body, vehigid la koyin leimoy? He has to tell the koyin, I've got saras on my body. Perhaps the koyin can't see. Why only by the house? Says Reb Tzvi Heshverber, a gewaltige yesod as follows. There is, he says, a major difference between somebody who's got a physical illness and a spiritual illness. A choili haguf or a choili hanefesh. Somebody who's got a physical illness, we all know ourselves, sometimes a person wakes up in the morning, they're not feeling quite okay, feeling a bit under the weather, perhaps a little bit of temperature, a headache, a stomachache, whatever it should be. And the person thinks to himself, it's nothing, I'll be fine, I'll be all right. I don't need to go running straight away to a doctor to make an appointment. It'll go by itself. If chas v'sholem, a person sees it doesn't get better, and the condition only goes worse and worse, and he's feeling really, really ill, and he's really not managing, then the person realizes he doesn't have an option. He's got to seek medical help. So a person's first reaction always is, if it's a small thing, it'll be all right. I don't need a doctor. I'll manage and meet Hashem. If he sees it's something major, something serious, he realizes he has to seek seeking physical help. That's how Choyli HaGuf goes. Says Rabbi Tzvi HaShvever, by the Choyli HaNefesh is just the opposite. There are Shoim who are doing all cold of a law, all different Averas. When you mention something to them, they'll tell you, I'm all right, thank you. I don't need any outside help. Please don't interfere into my life. I'm managing very nicely. There are Shoim who are serious Choyle HaNefesh. They think they don't need any help. The Tzaddikim, the person who's an Odom HaSholem, just he slipped up in some minor little area. He's done something which is Daka min Adaka, the slightest, smallest little pegam. He comes running to his Rebbe, to his Ruf, to his Rosh Hashiva, please help me, show me how I can put right where I've slipped up. So B'Choylei HaNefesh, it's the people who are got minor conditions, they come running. The people who are serious, serious Choyle HaNefesh, the Rishoim, they unfortunately live under an illusion that they don't need, don't interfere into my affairs. Zug Reb Tzvi HaShvever, with this we understand very well what the Torah is telling us. We know Tzaraah starts first on a person's house. If he doesn't do teshiva, it carries on to his clothes. If he still ignores it and carries on speaking Lashon Hara, it gets eventually to his body. So it starts with the house. So a person sees he's got tzaraas on his house, that's the beginning. Tells us the Torah, a person who gets tzaraas on his house, ibu el akoyin, such a person, he by himself will come to the koyin, vihigin la koyin leima, and he tells the koyin, kenega nira li bebesi, I realize it's my fault, I am to blame, it's nira li, it's because of me that my house has got tzaraas. So that's how it goes. A person who's got a minor choyle hanefesh. Unfortunately, if a person doesn't do tshiva, it goes on to his begudim. He carries on, it ends up on his body. Somebody who's ignored all these warnings, and it's already now the third stage, we're speaking about somebody who's a serious choyle hanefesh. So these people, instead of waking up and acknowledging and admitting that they've gone wrong and seeking help, tells us the Torah, Vehivo el Aroin Akoyin. Says the Baal, says the Ibn Ezra, Vehivo means even against his will. Sometimes this person has to be schlepped, he's got to be dragged, screaming and shouting and protesting, because he doesn't believe that he needs, I'm fine, I'm okay, what are you concerned about? And when he finally is brought to the Koyin, even then, it doesn't say Vehigid la Koyin Leimoy. He doesn't admit, I have a problem, I have tzaraas. He refuses to acknowledge it. But Ro'uya Koyin, the Koyin sees and gets one look at him and says, I'm sorry, mister, you've got tzaraas on your body. And therefore, this is why the Torah writes it in this way. And that's a very important lesson, that many times the people who need help the most, not only do they not go to get help, they don't want to acknowledge, they don't want to admit that they need help. And this is a symptom of Choyle HaNefesh. The greater a person is, the more he realizes his shortcomings and he goes for help. The smaller a person is, the more he believes that he's Mr. Perfect and doesn't need any outside help. I would like to speak Be'ikah today about a Yesod which unfortunately many people are totally unaware about. They don't realize its importance and its significance. And it's something which is written also in this week's Parsha connected with the Inyan of Tzaraas. The Sforim quote a lotion of the Zoya HaKudosh. The Zoya HaKudosh says the following words. Kama da oncha da hai banash begain mila bisha. Just like there is a punishment for a person who speaks bad about somebody else, he says Lashon Hara, Moitzi Shemra, this person will be punished. Says the Zoya HaKudosh, kach, just like that, pink dazoi, onche begain mila tova de kausi leyude. So he will be punished for a gitvot which came his way, the yuchel le malalo, and he could have said it, the loy malal, and he didn't say it. An unbelievable thing, says the Zohar Kodesh. We all know it's a big avera, speak Loshon Hara, to speak Moitzi Shemra, to upset somebody, to make them feel bad, to make them feel depressed, make them feel low. We all know that. So what are you supposed to do? Don't say it. Keep quiet. Tells us the Zohar Kodesh, that in itself is not enough. Just like there is a punishment for speaking against somebody else, for speaking bad about somebody else, so there is a punishment if you could have said a good word, cheered somebody up, make them feel good, give them a compliment, make them feel important, make them feel that they are a person. And you could have so easily said it, and you didn't bother. And so many times you see this, you hear this, somebody does something, and you could have said to them, given them a compliment, you know, people were so proud of what you did yesterday, the way how you spoke yesterday, how you helped this person yesterday. You should know people were saying such good things about you. Let this other person know. I'm not coming to flatter them. I'm not coming to chamfer them. I've got an opportunity to say a good word, to make somebody feel a sense of accomplishment, a sense of satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment. I can so easily make somebody feel good about themselves, and I just didn't bother. Tells us the Zohar Kodesh, for that a punishment, chas v'shul, a person will be punished in the same way as if he'd spoken Loshon Hara about this person. The Sfas Emes writes, we see by a metzoira that when he brings the korban, he has to, after he's gone through the whole tahara process, he has to bring shetei tziporim. He brings two birds as his kapor. Asks the Sfas Emes, why dafka two? Why two birds? We don't find normally about korban, a person has to bring two. Bring one animal as a korban. Why here does the metzora have to bring two birds? Says, quotes the Sfas Emes this Zohar HaKodesh. What he means to say is as follows. A person, instead of using his mouth for speaking good about somebody, not only has he not done that, he's used his mouth to speak badly about somebody else. He's got to bring shtei tziporim, two birds. Why two? We know the Vilna Gaon says, we say in the davening in Yom Neruim, Boishim is ma'amid everybody, Yom Neruim, with din and cheshbon. What's din and what's cheshbon? Says the Vilna Gaon, din is on the avera which a person has done. Cheshbon is as in that time, whilst you were doing the avera, you could have done a mitzvah in that time. So there's a din on the avera and a cheshbon. What did you do with that time? In that time, you could have done something positive, something good, and you wasted that time. There's a din and cheshbon. Says the Sfas Emes, you bring a metzora, bring shtei tziporim. Why? One tzipor for speaking Loshon Hara. And the other tzipor, says the Zohar Kodesh, in that, instead of speaking Loshon Hara, you could have said something positive. You could have said something good. Similarly, we find in the Parsha that not all forms of tzoras are metama a person. The Torah tells us if it's kiloi hofach lovon, difficult to explain exactly what it means, but it's a type of tzoras and it's totally white, says the Pusik, tohoi hi. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, there are forms of tzaraas, which are tzaraas, but the person doesn't become tomei. He stays tohoi, but he's got tzaraas. He's tohoi, doesn't have to go outside chitz lemachne. He's got tzaraas, but it's a tohoi type of tzaraas. Ask the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes. We understand that tzaraas comes from speaking Loshon Hara. A person of tzaraas, he becomes tomei. Here I see a person has tzaraas, Kiloi hofach lovon is totally white, so he's tohoi. So he's, but if it's tzaraas, surely tzaraas is tomei. So why the Torah tells us, no, there's a form of tzaraas which is tzaraas, but is tohoi. says the Imre Emes, quoting this Zohar Kodesh, the same Yesod. A person speaks Loshon Hara, so he gets Saras. That Saras makes him Tomei. A person could have given a compliment, could have said a gitvod, and he didn't bother. So says the Zohar Kodesh, he gets punished in the same way. How does he get punished in the same way? Says the Imre Emes, you know what punishment he gets? He gets Saras as well. But this Saras is a Tohoi form of Saras. But it is Saras. So why should a person be punished? It's a punishment gets Saras, even if it's Toh. The answer to this is a punishment. You could have said a gitvod, and you didn't bother. The Gemara tells us, a famous Gemara in Masechtas Tanis, that Rebbe Roike, that was his name, Rebbe Roike was one day, he bumped into Eliyahu Hanavi in the marketplace. There was a lot of people mingling around in the marketplace. Rebbe Roike said to Eliyahu Hanavi, tell me, is there anybody here in this marketplace who is a Ben Olam Habo? And Eliyahu Hanavi looked around, and at first he said he couldn't see anybody. And then he said, oh, those two people over there, they're B'nai Olam Habo. And Rebbe Roike ran up to them and he asked them, tell me, who are you? What do you do? So he said, Insha Bedicha Anon, we are Badchunim. And explains Rashi, Sameichim Imasamchim B'nai Udom. We are people who we go from place to place, and we see people who are upset, people who are depressed, people, for whatever reason, they're sad. We go along and we make them happy. This is what we do. And about these two people, said Eliyahu Hanavi, these two people are B'nai Olam Habo. So it's a gewaltige thing, but that in itself is so important that's the whole key. So we know every single day we say after Birchas HaTorah, the Mishnah, Eli Dvorim She'ein Lahem Shia, Hakeren Kayemes Loilam Habo, Hakeren Vaken Kayemes Loilam Habo, Ve'eli Haim, and we say Havo Shulam Ben Udam Lachaveiroi Ben Ish Leishtoi. That bringing peace, Havo Shulam Ben Udam Lachaveiroi, saying a good word, cheering somebody up. This is from the Zachemus. Haperus is ba'olam hazeh, the hakeren kayemes la'olam habo. This is this opportunity to cheer somebody up, say a gitvah. The Vilna Gaon writes in a letter, a famous letter which he wrote called Igeres Hagro. The Vilna Gaon was planning on traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and he left Vilna. And when he was halfway, he wrote a letter home full of hadrocha and missa and so on to his family. And he writes bicker to his wife and to his mother and to his daughters. And he writes his following words, V'isho esra iso tesamach bedvorim toivim. I want that you should say, isho esra iso, one lady to her friend, tesamach bedvorim toivim, ki ze mitzvah gedoyle lechaludam. This amoydike mitzvah. How easy it is just to say a gitva dvorim toivim. At some mitzvah gedoyle, you don't sometimes realize what you can achieve by just saying a gitva. And the Vilna Gaon carries on and says, this is one of the questions that we're all going to be asked after 120 years. Himlachto es chavercho benachas riach. Did you make other people feel good? Did you make it a pleasant atmosphere for them? Evezeh rov ha-toyre lesameach le'udam. Rov ha-toyre, says the Vilna Gaon, is devoted to making other people feeling happy. There's a story about the Chofetz Chaim. One night, Leil Yom Kippur, after Kol Nidra, after Marv was over, there was a Yid in the Beis HaMedrash there in Radin, at Tzabrochen, a Yid. The Chofetz Chaim, normally Leil Yom Kippur, would stay up the whole night learning and davening and saying Tehillim. But he saw Tzabrochen, a Yid. The Vilna Gaon, the Chofetz Chaim went over to him and spoke to him for a few hours about what? About Stam, Milad Alma, how are you, what you're doing, where you're going, where you're coming, listening to him, talking to him. What for? Just to make this person who was Nebuchadnezzar, Sabrochen, a fellow without any family, the Chofetz Chaim wanted to cheer him up. We know there used to be in Russia 150 years ago a terrible gezeirah called the Camp Tenistin, that they would snatch away young boys from 7, 8, 10 years old, and they would draft them into the Russian army for 25 years. And they were totally cut off from Klal Yisrael Torah Mitzvahs. And after 25 years having been in the army, when they were released, a lot of times these people, nobody wanted to have any association with them because they were wild, they were aggressive, they'd been totally nebuch corrupted. And these Yidden would come back and nobody wanted to talk to them. The Chofetz Chaim, once on his travels, he came to a place, an inn, and there was one of these Yidden was sitting there, one of these countenists, and he'd been in the army for 25 years. And he was a shikha, just drinking. Everybody didn't have anything to do with him. Chofetz Chaim saw him, he went over to him, and he started to speak to him, and he said to him, "I admire you." What's it to admire? This fellow didn't keep a single mitzvah. It never was an oinus. He didn't. But what admire you? He said, "After so many years of being cut off, you still feel that you belong to Klal Yisrael, and when you're released from the army, you want to be between other Yidden. Although Nebuch, after so many years, everything is foreign to you, and you don't understand, and it's difficult for you to acclimatize. But yet you realize this is where you belong, and we're all one people together." So the Chofetz Chaim spoke to him and comforted him. Till this fellow said to the Chofetz Chaim, "You're the first person in my life who's ever said to me a good word, who's ever given me a compliment." The Chofetz Chaim realized you can say a compliment to every single individual. You know, there's a famous tefillah from the Rebbe Rebbe Melech from Lezhensk, in which he says, and we all know this lushan, "Shenira kol echod malas chavereini veloy chesroinam." And I once heard from the Boyan the Rebbe Shlita, he said a gewaltige insight into this vort. The Rebbe Rebbe Melech says, "Shenira kol echod malas chavereini veloy chesroinam." It's not good enough just not to speak Lashon Hara, just not to speak Moitzi Shemra, not to see other people's chesroinus. I'm not saying a bad word against this person. That is only 50% of the equation. But just merely not seeing the bad is not in itself good enough. Everyone's got to look for the positive. Shenira kol echod malas chavereini. Just merely not seeing the negative, not seeing the bad, that's good. That's half of the story. Oh, but that in itself is not enough. Shenir kolechot malas chavrein. Merely not speaking Lashon Hara, halavai, we should hold by that madriga. But that's only half the avoid. The other half is to go out your way, say a good word, say a positive word, make this other person feel important. In the Sefer Ben Moshe, from the Osher of the Rebbe, a very chushev of Sefer Al HaTorah, he wants to explain with this the famous story which is quoted this week's Parsha in the Medrash, which all the Farshim all speak about this Medrash, and they all try to understand what is the message that we are being told in this story. Famous story, which I'm sure you all know. The Medrash tells us that there came a peddler, a roichel, came to the town of Reb Yanai. And he was, and the peddler, you know, everybody comes to him because he's selling all his different objects and wares. And he was calling out, "Who wants to buy life? Who wants to buy life?" And everybody came running to him. Of course, everybody wants to buy life. And he opened the Tehillim and he showed them the pusik. Mi oish ha-chofetz chayim oyev yomim lira is toiv. Nutzoy l'shoyn chomeiro sosecho midabe mimo. Simei ruva se toiv bakeshut mutfrei. And Rabbi Yanai, when he heard this, Rabbi Yanai said, "My whole life I've been learning and davening this pusik in Tehillim, and I never realized what's written here until this peddler came and he showed me, he revealed it to me." That's the story, which is, in a nutshell, which is brought down in the Medrash. And all the Mefarshim ask, what didn't Rabbi Yanai understand? What did he suddenly realize which he hadn't realized? What did he understand from this pusik which he'd never realized before? Writes the Osher of a Rebbe, quoting this Zoya Kudosh again. It's not good enough just merely not to speak bad. You've got to speak good. Says David HaMelech in Tehillim, Mirish HaChovetz Chaim, who wants life? Oyev Lyumim Lirois Toiv. You have to see good about other people. Of course, you mustn't speak Lashon Hara, but that in itself is not enough. Simeiru va'asei toiv. Just being a simeiru is only 50%. Va'asei toiv. A person has to make sure also to be a asei toiv. Do good, speak good, look good, and then you will see. That is the other person's malish. You'll see they're good. One of the great poskim 100 years ago, his name was Reb Meir Arik. He was the Poisik Hadoi 100 years ago. He was a Chovka the Chusid. And he was once asked, you know, there are some Gedolim and some Rebbes who they refused, you know, to allow people to come into them if they weren't, you know, Chushev Erlech Hayidin. They only were busy with the top 20%, the top 30%. But the simple, the uneducated, the amaratsim, the pushiter, proster, not for us. And in Chodkiv, the Rebbes were Makarev, all types of Yidden from all walks of life and all shapes and sizes. And somebody asked Reb Meir Arik, why is this? We don't see this by other Rebbes. So why in Chodkiv is the Rebbe of the Makarev so much these pushiter Yidden? And he said a gevaldige yesod. And he said as follows. You know, a diamond is worth a lot of money. Why is a diamond worth a lot of money? Because it's something which people appreciate. It sparkles. It's beautiful. People hang it in a necklace. We understand a diamond is worth a lot of money. Now, if a diamond was to fall in the mud, you can no longer appreciate and enjoy the beauty and the sparkle of that diamond. So if somebody were to take a diamond which had fallen in the mud and say, you know, this diamond is worthless now, I'm chucking in the bin, you would say, this person, he's a shoiter. This diamond is worth pinta zoifield geld, like beforehand. It's worth exact the same amount as beforehand. All you have to do is put it under a tap, wash off the mud, and the diamond will sparkle exactly like it was sparkling beforehand. You don't need to chuck it out. If you chuck it out, this amasa shtis, it's the same diamond. It's just covered in mud. Take away the mud, clean it off, and it will sparkle. Said Reb Meir Arik, this is the same yesod by all of us. Each one of us possesses a heiliger neshoma. Neshoma shenasata bi tahoyrehi. We have all got a moedike neshoma. Unfortunately, sometimes our neshoma becomes covered over. It gets smothered in layers of mud. Because our body, unfortunately, is cloaking neshoma in layers of mud. But that doesn't mean you just disregard that person, throw him out, you write him off. He's a failure, he's a good for nothing, chas v'shalom. That's the equivalent to somebody who takes a diamond covered in mud and throws in the bin. It's a chashoyter. What you have to do is you have to peel away all those levels of timur, all those negative things, until you allow the neshoma shnasato be, which is inside me, to shine forth and to give off the light. With this, we understand why dafke by tzaras we find this yesod that somebody has tzaras shteit in the Torah vehivo el ana koyin oy el achad mibunav hakoyhanim. Only the koyhanim are able to paskin and to say whether this person is a mitzoyra. Why dafke the koyhanim? We know in every other part of the Torah, if a person has a shala, whether it should be in Hilchas Shabbos, whether it should be a financial issue, whether it should be in Hilchas Kashrus, whatever it should be, a person goes and he asks a rov. The more difficult the shala, the greater the Talmud Chacham you have to ask. But you don't go dafka to a kohen. And here we find in the Torah says, a shala, to paskin who has tsaras and not tsaras, you can't go to the gudel hador. You can't go to the ruv. You can't go to the rebbe. You can't go to the rosh yeshiva. You know who you go to? You have to go to a kohen. Why dafka to a kohen? Shtetina, the Klei Yukah writes this, and many other Mephoshim write this as well. We know the Mishnah tells us in others, what is the mid of Ana Koyim? Hillel Hoya Oyma, Heaven Metalmidav Shal Ana Koyim, Oyev Shulam, Veroidev Shulam, Oyev Eshabrius, and Makarvon Lutoira. The reason why a person gets Lushna Hora is because he looks down on other people, looks down on other Yidden, speaks bad about other Yidden, and he feels in his heart he's justified. Tells us the Torah, you know what you need? You need to be brought to a Koyen. Vehivol Ana Koyen. You need to learn from Ana Koyen how to behave. And then you will suddenly realize that your behavior, how totally inappropriate it is. There's a story told over from the Capetian Serebi, when the great Tzaddikim lived in America 50, 60 years ago. There were two wealthy Yidden who had a major financial dispute. They were partners in a big business, and they fell out. And each one felt that the other one had somehow stolen from him and behaved in an inappropriate way. And the relationship deteriorated terribly until they were no longer on talking terms. And each one was out to try and spite the other and be nasty to the other. And eventually it went from one Din Torah to another Din Torah without any conclusion, because there was so much animosity there between them that one couldn't get to the bottom of it, and it only became worse and worse. And one day somebody said, why don't they go to the Kapishnitzer Rebbe? The Kapishnitzer was famed, Moyedika Oiv Yisrael, somebody who couldn't say a bad word against anybody. Go to him, perhaps he, Barov Chachmusoi, will be able to sort out your dispute. So these two sworn enemies came together and they sat by the table of the capricious Rebbe, and they started to tell him what had gone on and how each one had deceived the other. And in the middle, things spiraled out of control. And Reuven said to Shimon, I deceived you? It was you who deceived me. You stole from me here, you stole from me there. Shimon says, I stole from you? You're the ganav, you're the shakan. They started screaming and shouting at each other. Suddenly, the capricious Rebbe was hearing how these two Yidden were shouting at each other. He suddenly said, my heart can't take this. My heart can't take this. Hearing Yidden shouting at my heart can't take this. And he suddenly collapsed on the floor and he fell unconscious. The family came in. They tried to resuscitate him. Couldn't resuscitate him. They had to call Hatzolah. Hatzolah came round, trying to resuscitate the capricious Rebbe. They couldn't wake him up. Meanwhile, these two Yidden were standing there, and they saw what they had done, how they caused the capricious Rebbe. They're trying to resuscitate the Rebbe, they can't resuscitate him. These two Yidden saw what they had done. Suddenly they realized between themselves, it's only they who can resuscitate the Rebbe. And they said, let's make peace between ourselves. We're going to be moichel each other. They went over to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe, 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 we've made shalom, we're moichel each other, we're going to work it all out. And as soon as they said this, somehow the Rebbe came out of his, came back to himself, and he became resuscitated. And these two Yidden made shalom. So what all the other people who had tried so hard to knock some sense into these people and make them realize and were unable, they came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe didn't say anything to them. Just he collapsed. Fainted, became unconscious, hearing how one Yid could such a way be Mavaza another Yid. That's what made them realize. There's a Gevaldig Gevort from Rav Meir Shapira. Rav Meir Shapira, the Blina Ruf, said as follows. As we said, the Mishnah says in others, Hillel Hoya Oimer, Heaven Metalmidav Shel Aron HaKohen, and so on. Asks Rav Meir Shapira, why Dafka was it Hillel Hazuken? He was the one who used to say, Heaven Metalmidav Shel Aron. Why did nobody else say it? Why did Dafka Hillel used to say it? So said Rav Meir Shapira, and he said, gave a number of examples. Isn't time now to give all the examples. Let's just give this example. Sidra Mei Shapira, Chazal tell us, Noim hadvorim kashiyotzim mipi oiseim. That Misa hadrocha has only got meaning when it comes from the mouth of somebody who practices what he preaches. Stam giving Misa, anybody can do that. It has no effect. It has to be dvorim hayotzim min halev. Somebody who lives on that level, that when he speaks, that has a meaning. Said Rabbi Shapira as follows: we find that Hillel, Moedika's stories, how Hillel, his patience which he had for other Eden. And just to give one example, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos that two Yidden had a bet between themselves, a large sum of money, 400 rubles, whatever it was, that they, one of them said, I bet you I can get Hillel to lose his temper. And the other Yid said, I bet you you can't. So the Yid said, you know what, we're gonna see. I'm going to get Hillel to lose his temper, and when he loses his temper, you're going to have to pay me these 400 rubles. Fine, they had this bet. How is this Yid going to get Hillel to lose his temper? Well, it's Erev Shabbos today, we know. Erev Shabbos, everybody's busy. Tells us the Gemara that this Yid waited to see when Hillel went, before Shabbos, went to the Beis HaMeir, to the wash house, to wash himself, have a shower before Shabbos. He comes there to wash house. He waited till he heard the water, the shower running. He stands outside and he says, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Says Rashi, this was a lotion of Bizoyan. Hillel was the Nusi of Klal Yisrael. You don't call him on first name terms. Mikan Hillel, where's Hillel? But this is how he called him. Straight away, he heard the water went off. Hillel was in the middle of a shower. He jumps out the shower, he dries himself, he puts on his clothes, he runs outside and he asks, does somebody call me? This Yid says, yeah, I've got a question to ask. Hillel could have said, you know, you could have waited 5 minutes till I come out the shower anyway, what's the urgency? Oh, it must have been a serious shalom, pekiach nefesh. This Yid says to him, yes, ich habe größer shalom. So Hillel says, Bini, my son, this is in such a pleasant way. Ma'atu mavakish, what do you want to ask? Omaloi, sha'ala yesh li lishoy, I've got a question to ask. Omaloi, sha'al bini, sha'al. So what question, what's so important that you have to get Hillel out of his shower for this? Mipnei ma'arosheim shel bavliim seg leglois. Why do the bavliim have round heads? So Hillel, instead of becoming annoyed, what are you asking stupid questions for? Hillel says, Bini, my son, in such a nice way, a pleasant way, Bini, my son, She'ela g'doyla shualta, you've asked a very, very good question, an important question. And he answered him, thank you. Hillel goes back into the Beis HaMeir, gets undressed. Again, goes back into the shower, he hasn't had a shower yet. Straight away, the guy outside again calls, Mikan Hillel. Again, Hillel straight away, jumps out the shower, gets dressed, puts his clothes on, runs outside, and goes over to the street. Do you want to ask me a question? He says, yes, I do. I've got another question. What's his question this time? Mipneima eneim shel tarmoidim teritois. Why do the eyes of this nation have unusual eyes, small eyes? Again, he said, you could have got annoyed. You know, you could have asked me that question first time round. You didn't have to ask me now. Bini she'ela g'doyla shu'alta. Oh, skifrekta gavaldige kasha. Hillel wants to make him feel good. As we said, make somebody feel good. You ask a gavaldige kasha. So he gives him an answer. Again, Hillel goes back into the shower. Same story again. He stands outside. Where's Hillel? Me can Hillel. Hillel again jumps out of the shower, gets dressed, runs outside. Somebody want me? Says, yes. I've got a shawl to ask. Again, Hillel could have said, you know, you could have actually asked me that. Could ask this, the third question you could have asked me. No, no. He's got another question to ask. Mipnei ragleim shel afrikim rechovos. Why do the people live in Africa? Why do they have wide feet? Oh, Hillel doesn't get annoyed. Bini, my son, such a nice way of saying. Bini, my son, she'ele g'doyle shwalta. You've asked a very important question. And so this goes on until this Yid sees that Hillel's not getting annoyed. He's as calm as can be. This Yid becomes annoyed. And he says to Hillel, Halavai shlo yirbi kamoscha b'Yisrael. Halavai, there shouldn't be many people like you in Klal Yisrael. So, that's his thank you which he gets. So Hillel says, why do you say that? So he tells him, because I made a bet with my friend that I'm going to cause you to lose your temper, and I've tried my hardest to get you annoyed, and it hasn't worked. So Hillel said, it was worthwhile that you should lose that money rather than I should lose my temper. Said Rav Meir Shapira, that's why the Mishnah always tells us, Hillel hoya oimer, heaven metamid of shal aaron oyev shulim veroid of shulim. Lots of times a person says, I know it's good you shouldn't get annoyed. I know it's good you should give compliments. I know it's good that you should give a smile to everybody. But everything has a gvul. Everything has a limit. So we learn out from Hillel how far Hillel used to go. Hillel was the living embodiment of heaven metalmid of shul aaron, oyev shulim, veroid of shulim, oyves habriyas, mekav natoyim. Says the Klei Yoker and many other mafoshim, a person speaks Loshna Hora about somebody else because he feels that he's entitled to do so. This other person has overstepped the limit, and therefore I'm entitled. Tells us the Torah, you spoke Loshna Hora, you see you got tzaras. So tzaras obviously is a punishment. You weren't correct. Why weren't you correct? But I think I am correct. The answer is, Vehevel Aaron HaKohen. Go to Aaron HaKohen, and from Aaron HaKohen, from the Kehanim, you will learn what it means to be a Oyev Shulam, a Roid of Shulam, a Oyev Habrias in Mekav and the Torah. That's the way the Torah wants us to behave. The Torah wants us to learn that we have to be Taka, emulate the Druchim of Aaron HaKohen, and that's a lesson what we should take from this week's Parsha. Merely not speaking Loshna Hora and Moitzi Shemra is only 50%. That itself is not enough. We have to make sure, make an effort, speak nicely to others, give a compliment, give a smile, say a gitvot, be a oyev shulam, be a roid of shulam, and through that we'll be zoicha to make a true Kiddush Hashem in Makavim L'Torah Omen Ken Yerutzayim.